See website for details.
William Nichols from Scores Jewelers. You know, I'm very fortunate to work in an industry that's almost entirely focused on celebrating life's good times and milestones. Like the anniversary highlighting 5, 10, 15 years or more spent with your best friend, birthdays and Christmases, and maybe the biggest day of all, the marriage of two people. Her engagement ring is more than just a diamond and a piece of gold. On the day it's given as a gift, it becomes a meaningful symbol marking the start of your new life together. In a few years, you won't remember the price tag on her engagement ring, but you will remember that look on her face when you open the box. That moment of sheer joy and excitement that says so many things to her that you could never express in words. This is the true value of a ring. The reason these things are handed down from one generation to the next. She's the one. Show her with the ring from Scores Jewelers. We'll help you find or make the perfect ring that says everything you want to say the moment you open the box for her. I'm William Nichols of Scores Jewelers in Anderson and online at scoresdiamondjewelers.com, and I want to be your jeweler.
Hi, this is Scott Trout of Cordell & Cordell. There are a lot of great dads out there. Sometimes those dads get divorced. For more than 30 years, we've represented men in divorce, confronting the pitfalls that could devastate your finances or harm your family relationships. While every situation is different, our goal is to get the best outcome for you and your kids. Visit CordellCordell.com to take the first step.
55 Beatty Place, Suite 900, Greenville, South Carolina, 29601. Scott Trout, licensed in Missouri, Illinois, and Georgia only. CordellCordell.com.
You're listening to the Roars College Football Kickoff Show, live from Southern Side Brewing Company in Greenville. Now, let's get back to the action.
Fred Cunningham back with you. Hour number three of the 16th Annual College Football Kickoff Show. Mickey Plyler's here. William Quackenbush is here. Faxon Childress is here. Walt Deptula back at the studio. I made a crack earlier about Walt being the designated survivor, and then suddenly my phone started blowing up with lightning alerts, and we've had a thunderstorm blow through here at Southern Side Brewing, so I'm not going to make any more
I was afraid
comments.
For about 3 minutes.
I was afraid. Sketchy there for a few minutes. All right, we're going to talk Big Ten now. Now, I grew up in Big Ten country. It was the Big Two and the Little Eight back then. Now, I kind of think it's more like the Big One and a Half and 17, or I guess that would be 16-5. So as we look ahead to the Big Ten, obviously you start with the defending national champs.
Yeah, I would say you've got to start with Ohio State. Now, Ohio State in a normal, what I would consider a normal year, Ohio State's got major questions. But when everybody has quarterback questions, that makes me more sure about Ohio State. Because if Ohio State does one thing well, it's they are going to support their quarterback. They're going to put the receivers on the outside. We know about Smith. It goes beyond Smith. They're going to give him a run game. They've got a good defense. I do have a question about going from a really strong defensive system under Jim Knowles to Matt Patricia, who knows how to coach defense but hasn't done it there at this level with this type of players. So I think there is a major question there. I think Saiyan is a good player. I think when you put them up against Penn State, they have Ohio State's defensive coordinator. They have the returners. They have the two backs, and they have the receiver, and they have the quarterback, and they have the denied Dennis Sutton. They have these guys that are available to them that have been in big moments and been in big games. I think if the script doesn't flip this year, and Penn State doesn't become that team, that I'm not sure there's going to be a more enticing opportunity in the near future.
Yeah, I mean, Quack just pretty much perfectly articulated everything I was going to say. We can pivot to a couple different teams while we're at it. But yeah. No, in all seriousness, Ohio State is probably a top 7 to 8 talented team in the country, but they have a question mark at quarterback. And I like Saiyan, but I can't sit here and pretend that we've seen him compete at this level, right? I think Tavian St. Clair, who's the true freshman, I think he's super talented, but we don't know. And then Kineholz is the other guy in the room who's probably going to be the backup. We haven't seen an extended look at him either, so that's the biggest question. The best player in the country undeniably plays in Columbus, Ohio, and it's Jeremiah Smith, and it's not even close, just to be completely honest. There's nobody that even sniffs the stratosphere of Jeremiah Smith.
The second best player in the country plays as well.
Yes.
On the other side of the football.
On the other side of the football, yeah. Exactly. Like, Ohio State's defense is going to give them a super-duper high floor, and obviously Caleb Downs is unbelievable. The secondary is going to be loaded. The big question is, are they better than Penn State this year? I think the answer on paper is no. I trust Ryan Day more than I trust James Franklin. So this is going to be an intriguing league, and I think there's 4 or 5 teams that have a chance.
You and me both on Franklin. Mickey?
I like Ohio State. I like Saiyan more than most people like Saiyan. I think he's going to have a good, you know, obviously throw it to Jeremiah Smith and Carnell Tate. Some of those guys are going to be great. They don't have – the offensive line struggled a little bit last year. That's kind of weird to say. that you can struggle. You recruit all those five stars, you still struggle a little bit. An awful lot of guys are placed on defense. But this is it's like almost every Ohio State year. Now, Texas comes in, and that's a great game, but it won't mean a whole lot to make it the playoffs or not. Penn State and then at Michigan. I think Penn State with that running game. I mean, you got those backs, and Penn State's going to be able to run the football at you. The other thing is that they go to Ohio State, though. Can they go into that place and win? I don't know. Both of those playoff teams, though. I like both of these teams. It's not really two, though. Look, Oregon is in the conversation.
Right.
And I'm going to shock you, man. I love Southern Cal this year. Walt probably is going to disagree with me.
Oh, my Lord.
I love Southern Cal this year. It's time.
Walt, you get to yell at him this year.
Last year. All right, Walt, go ahead. Walt, I'm going to tee this up for you, okay? But last year, Southern Cal had fourth quarter leads in the Michigan game and lost. A fourth quarter lead in the Minnesota game and lost. Penn State and lost in overtime. How? I don't know. They unbelievably found a way to lose it at Maryland and at Washington. And every game they had except for Notre Dame, they had a fourth quarter lead and they blew it. That's going to flip flop at some point in time. They've got a lot of talent. They spent a lot of money. I'm telling you, I've got a feeling Southern Cal's going to the college football playoffs.
I think Walt has been scrambling back at the studio, writing down all the things that he has to address now. The floor is yours.
Yeah, I'm going to have to see that, Mickey, to believe it. I think it better go as you say, because if not, this is Lincoln Riley's final year in USC. They've had enough. So he's got to fix the defense. He's got to be the coach of the whole team. And the defense was his problem at Oklahoma. It's been his problem at USC. It got a little better last year. So if it gets a little better, maybe they turn some of those into wins. But I'm just not certain about any of that. I think it's about 50-50 as to whether – he's still there next year, so that's where I am on them. But as far as Penn State is concerned, I think Ohio State's lost too much. I know Ohio State's getting a lot of love in the polls and other places. Some number one somewhere the other day. I just think they've lost too much. They lost their entire defensive front. You know, it's like people. They also lost Henderson and Jenkins at tailback. You know, those were two of the best backs on one team in America, and they had a really experienced quarterback, not experienced at Ohio State, but an experienced guy who played a lot of football. And when he got to the playoff was nothing to him. He had seen a lot. I think Julian Sam's going to put up a big statistical year. I just wonder if he can get to the playoff and deliver as Will Howard did. I don't think so. I think this is Penn State's year. I think they were so close last year. I think this is a physical, nasty football team. This is the best offensive line in America. They're going to be dominant. And when you put Singleton and Allen behind that offensive line, I mean, these two dudes are war daddies. I mean, they were the best players. They were two of the best players in the country at the end of last year. I mean, those two guys played their tails off against Notre Dame, and they deserve to win. You know, obviously, Drew Aller needs to take another step, and I think he has the chance to. You got to remember, he had no receivers last year. His receiver was Warren. He had no legitimate receivers. Now he has two. He has Trevor Peña and Devontae Ross, and they brought in Hudson from USC. So I think the threat of a deep game, of a vertical game, is going to make that run game even harder to deal with. My one concern about them is they lost Max Granville to injury, who they think was going to be the next Abdul Carter type guy. They lost him. But Zane Durant, the 290-pound defensive tackle at Penn State, he's the most underrated player in the country. He's like Aaron Donald. That's who Zane Durant is. Denai Dennis Sutton is a terrific player. What Penn State needs, they need Zariah Fisher, the defensive end on the other side, to stay healthy. He's a six-year player. He's got ability. He's had some trouble staying healthy. They need him to stay healthy. But, look, when you look at the whole nation and you ask yourself which teams have the most answers, I think it's Clemson, Penn State. And I think Penn State is the team people will least want to play, because there's a chance that they just line up and just maul everybody. You know, they lost that game at Oregon last year when they got too pass happy. They averaged 10 yards a carry against that Oregon defense last year. And I think Singleton and Allen are unbelievable. I think Allen's the best pass pro block back in the country. And I think Singleton is the best pass catching back in the country. And they're both 230 pounds, and they're going to run behind an offensive line that's nothing but maulers.
You mentioned that we have been talking about Penn State and Ohio State. We mentioned Oregon at one point. The team getting a ton of love in the offseason in that next tier, ILL, INI. the Fighting Illini of Illinois.
You know, Fred, I'm glad you brought up Illinois because I like this roster fine, okay? This, to me, is an example of we're getting ahead of ourselves and it's going to feel like a team underachieve when they do what they're capable of. This, to me, look, they've got a lot of returners. Look what they did last year, though. I mean, you go to the bowl game against South Carolina. You show me a bowl result
that
makes sense.
That was it.
I mean, look who they beat. Eastern Illinois, they beat Kansas. That's good, but Kansas started like 1-3.
By six.
They beat Central Michigan. They won at Nebraska. That was good in overtime. They beat Purdue in
by
overtime.
One.
They gave up 14-9 to a Purdue team that didn't score 49 in the other 11 combined.
Yes.
Michigan, they beat 21-7. Michigan can't score. Michigan State, they beat. Rutgers, they beat. Northwestern, they beat. Fred, that to go from that, I'm not saying what they did was not hard. I'm not saying what they did was not good.
Is this a gathering of the Indiana club here?
I'm just saying, if you're asking me, is Illinois a college football playoff team, I would ask this question. In what world have they looked like a college football playoff team in the last 30 years?
You want to geek out a little bit? Let me give you this to reiterate that point. It's almost like what Clemson baseball backers did. The numbers don't add up. Last year, Illinois was 79th in running the football, 86th in passing the football, 92nd in total offense. They were 65th stopping the run. They were 78th in the pass and 68th in total defense. And yet they won all those games because they didn't play anybody.
I think they're going to go like 8-4, maybe 9-3. But there are people talking playoff. And so if they don't make the playoff, it's going to seem like a disappointment. And I think Indiana's like a 9-win team. I think, look, their schedule was cake last year. Illinois doesn't have that level of schedule to me. A team that does have that level of schedule, Fred, is
Illinois. Illinois is going to lose at Duke in week two.
See,
I agree with that.
We're just going to assume they're going to Duke and rolling them. They're going to Indiana and rolling them. Going to Washington? No, I just
Duke
don't.
Plays
I don't think that.
And it's at Duke, Wild Smith Outdoor Stadium, and Duke will win that football game.
I have seen Illinois disappoint my brother for my entire life. Even when they went to the Rose Bowl and he went there and they got beat by UCLA, I think
you don't
it was
remind
45-3.
Him of that, dude. You never need to.
Oh,
that.
Every time, even though it's been 40 years, I still let him know every now and then. The Fighting Illini, you've heard a pretty compelling the prosecution has spoken.
Yeah, they have. I like this team a little better than the other fellows do. Look, first of all, they have a returning quarterback in Luke Altmyer, who I think is a really good player, a really consistent player. One of the better leaders in college football. He's not going to be a highly regarded NFL guy, but I think collegiately he's a really good leader. I think Bielma is a terrific football coach. I think he gets every drop. So Mickey's right about the numbers, but Bielma has a way of squeezing every drop out of his teams. I think he does it again. And I'll give you a guy to watch for. I think Gabe Bakas, the linebacker, he is a potential Buckus winner. This guy is an absolute war daddy. I mean, he had some huge games against really big-name teams last year, and now he's bigger, stronger, faster, lighter. I think he is going to be a game wrecker for Illinois. I mean, I don't think they're a playoff team either, but could I see him winning 10 games? Yes.
Can y'all shoot down my Southern Cal thing right quick?
I was going to say, I've got comments on USC and Illinois, and I actually like both teams. So I'm like with Walt on one and against Walt on one, kind of. And I'm kind of with Mickey, which makes me feel uncomfortable because
schedule.
Of Lincoln Riley.
Look at Southern Cal's schedule. We'll
start with Southern Cal, okay? What I do like about Southern Cal is they have a chance to glide into league play with no potential losses on the schedule. You start with Missouri State, Georgia Southern, at Purdue, and Michigan State. You should be 4-0, providing ultimate disaster. If you lose one of those four, just fire Lincoln and send him
they're
home.
They're going
to send him back to Norman.
Hey, we got a Georgia Southern
right now,
fan here.
Lose to Michigan State. See, I didn't buy this.
You think they're losing to Michigan
when
State at home?
Tried to run this USC. Yes, 100%. I think Aiden Childs and Jonathan Smith are going to take a major step forward this year. I'll take Aiden Childs. Give me Aiden Childs and give me Jonathan Smith as head coach. Lincoln Riley can't win anything. What's he win? I mean, again, he lost. Okay. You know, some of these close games that people tell me he lost to. Yeah, he lost to Minnesota.
Yeah.
He wins
the first three quarters. He's like Dale Earnhardt at Daytona.
Yeah,
the
that's
499.
It. That's it. That's who he is.
He cuts a tire and drips to the top of the
I do think Miami is a
Mickey.
Big upgrade for Miller Moss, though. Like, I think they are significantly
oh,
better
buy.
Hands at quarterback
yeah, that,
this
that'll
year.
Buy because, yeah. Quite honestly, Faxon, I think you're an upgrade from Miller Moss. I think Ramon is an upgrade from Miller Moss. That's why I hate
Louisville,
by the way.
Yeah, I don't like Louisville either because I think Miller Moss kind of, for lack of a better term, sucks, if you want me to be honest with you.
Until he leads the ACC in passing
this year.
The peanut is the lesser nut, and Miller Moss is the lesser Keaton Slovis.
Yes.
But hey, Keaton Slovis would have thrown for 3,500 yards in Brohm's offense, though. So that's true.
But the USC thing I'm buying to an extent because they avoid the Big Two. They avoid Ohio State. They avoid Penn State. I like Lincoln a lot more than Walt. I've learned that very recently. I think Lincoln's a pretty good coach that comes with his warts and his flaws. But the big thing for me that I'm buying, I think USC is going to have one of the best defenses in the country this season. And last year, I don't think people realize how much better their defense got. They only gave up 24 points a game last year.
Because they finally got the coordinator right. Yes. Lynn is one of the best coordinators in the country.
Bingo. Good hire. Mickey's 100% correct. And their defense, weirdly enough, because he tied his wagon to Alex Grinch for way too many years, and the defense always sucked in Norman, the defense is going to be better than the offense this year for Southern Cal. That's my hot take with USC. I have them in my playoff, too, just a little bit of a spoiler.
Oh,
and then
man.
I'm with Walt as well.
Fight on, Faxon Childress.
Do you want to do the little thing right here, the Trojan thing? Yeah. Or, I'm with you, Mickey.
Three for victory.
And then Illinois screens 9-3.
Green earth that USC is going to play on.
We could probably do 45 minutes on Michigan and not even talk about this year's team.
Do they know the signals? Do they know the signals? Because if not, they're going 7-5. They were 7-5 program until they knew everybody's calls.
Is this another team I can play quarterback for?
Sure.
Because they need one.
Yeah. So y'all tell me Oklahoma's going to beat Michigan in week two, right?
Yeah, because freshman quarterback going, Venable's going to make that guy cry.
Yes.
Venable's going to make Bryce Underwood cry. Why in the world they think that's a good idea? Well, I mean, he'd make Mikey King cry too. But why they think that's a good idea to throw that guy, because they paid him $4 million, but you're taking them to Norman to face that? No. That's going to go so badly.
They're going to lose like 31-10.
Sean Moore in a hot seat?
Yes.
Nah.
Yes.
No. You want to know why? Because they're about to get fined $35 million over the next 2 years. They got to run their program. Are they going to run their program or pay the buyout? I'm not sure. They're legit. I think the financial penalties to Michigan are severe in the era where everybody's trying to find money under the couch cushion.
That's the only thing you can do. Anyway, that's all they have is the checkbook.
What does the buyout look like on Sharon? I'm gonna have to do some research. Stand by.
It's higher than mine.
I want to get Walt's opinion when we come back on something. Ryan Williams is not 17 anymore, I don't think. Ryan Williams is not the best receiver in the state of Alabama, and I've got the stats to back it up, and I'll get Walt's thoughts on it.
Oh, man.
All right. That's a good reason right now to take a quick break. You are listening to the College Football Kickoff Show here on The Roar. We are live in Greenville at Southern Side Brewing, and we'll be right back.
Hey, Tiger fans. I'm Morgan Coleman, proud Clemson soccer alum and upstate native. I may have hung up my cleats, but now spend my time assisting buyers and sellers in the Greenville, South Carolina area. My goal is to provide my clients peace of mind during one of the most important decisions of their life. It's important to have early conversations with a trusted realtor to help navigate the current market. If you are considering buying or selling, let's chat. Call me at 864-313-7639 or search Morgan Coleman Real Estate online to get started.
Gilstrap Roofing's experienced team specializes in shingle and flat roofs for residential, commercial, and industrial customers. Their dedication to complete customer satisfaction is why a large portion of their business comes from repeat customers and referrals. If you need a full-service roofing contractor that has over 88 years of experience and takes pride in top customer satisfaction, Gilstrap Roofing has got you covered. Call for your free roofing estimate today at 269-1232 and online at gilstraproofing.com.
When life hits hard, you need someone who doesn't punt. I'm Trey Mills with the Tramwin Mills Law Firm. Insurance company dragging its feet after a wreck or work injury? We go for it every time. No field goals, no fair catches. You call us and we bring the heat. Go big or go home. Visit us at tramwinmills.com or call 864-485-8585. Fourth and inches, we go for it.
We're here with Eric Snyder, Snyder Tree Care. Eric, I know that you're always looking to hire. Your business is growing like crazy. So let's talk about reasons that people would choose to come to work for Snyder Tree Care.
You know, Mickey, years ago, I looked at the team we had and I thought, gosh, if I want to keep people long term, I've got to provide for them. So we brought on health care, holiday pay, vacation pay, uniforms. At Snyder Tree, we say we're a professional company that happens to do tree care.
Leave it to Snyder Tree Care.
I'm Eddie Bennett.
For 25 years, Bennett Equipment has sold and rented construction equipment. Bennett is one of Takeuchi's top dealers in the U.S. for the last 2 years by putting our customers first. And now, Takeuchi is offering 0% financing on all equipment and attachments, along with an industry-leading 3-year, 3,000-hour warranty. As we celebrate 25 and 25, we want to thank our loyal customers for your business and trust. And as always, when you need equipment, buy it or rent it from Bennett.
Ready to ditch that workout that just involves lifting heavy things or running on a treadmill in front of yet another screen in your life? Come climb some walls at Blockhaven, Greenville's bouldering gym where strength and flexibility meet problem solving and community. No ropes, no harnesses, just giant padded floors, 16-foot walls, and hype music. No experience, no problem. Blockhaven has over 200 routes for everyone, from beginners to Olympic climbers that change every month, so boredom doesn't stand a chance. Come solo, bring the crew, sign up your kids for their youth teams, or throw a party. Mention the Roar at the front desk for 20% off your first day pass or a $0 membership fee. Come reach new heights at Blockhaven, where you can climb harder, build fitness, and join a thriving community of healthy people. Visit Blockhaven in the Judson Mill District in Greenville, just a short drive from anywhere in the upstate. Or visit BLOCHAVEN.com for more information today.
You're listening to the Roar's College Football Kickoff Show, live from Southern Side Brewing Company in Greenville. Now, let's get back to the action.
Fred Cunningham with you. Mickey's here. Quok, Faxon, Walt's back at the studio. We're going to wrap up the Big Ten because we had a couple of pre-break thoughts. Mickey, your big question was?
Well, I'm going to get with Walt here in a second. I'm going to geek out. I'm going to nerd alert him for the best wide receiver state of Alabama. I'm almost done.
Can I say one more thing about the Big Ten?
Yeah. Sure.
Look at Matt Rule's career. Around here, I think people think of Matt Rule, the terrible Panthers coach. Okay.
Yes.
Matt Rule, year two at Temple, I think they were 7-6. Baylor, they were like 7-6, 6-7. At both of those places in year three, they go 10 wins, they go 11 wins. Nebraska's winning 10 games.
Yes.
Okay. The schedule is not terrible. They have their quarterback who has now gone through those first year growing pains. Their defense is not very good, but I don't know if you noticed, they play football in the Big Ten. You don't have to have a good defense 6 out of your 9 games. You're pretty much just going to stop them because they're going to stop themselves. Nebraska's non-conference, I think, is a good look. And Matt Rule can coach. He knows how to do this. I think their staff is pretty good. I think people are – if they're – look, and I was trying to think, okay, if we're talking like motifs, if we're talking just types of teams, who is the SMU that's going to schedule their way into a game that somebody else should have been in? Who's the Indiana that's going to schedule their way into a playoff that somebody else should have been in? I think Nebraska is one of those teams that could schedule their way with some talent. They're not untalented, but they could schedule their way into this playoff because the better teams knock each other off a little
bit. I'm buying that. I watched them last year and little Mahomes Jr. I've never seen a team that relied on a freshman quarterback that much, and he had no talent around him. He had to win. When they won, it was because of little Mahomes.
Yes, absolutely. And I also think that this is another instance of the pendulum swinging too far in the wrong direction on Raiola. Like, we're all probably a little bit annoyed by the Mahomes gimmick, but he's really good. And he was the number one quarterback in the country coming out for a reason. His recruitment was so highly covered for a reason. They have a couple receivers now. They brought in Dane Key, if that's a familiar name. He was at Kentucky. They brought in Isaiah Hunter from Cal, who I think is a pretty good little player. He has a lot more talent around him this year than he did last year. They have a good in Emmett Johnson, who I'm really high on. I think he can play. The big question is on the defensive side of the ball. I like the linebacking core. I have questions about the like top flight talent in the secondary and on the D-line, but I love Quok's point because Rule is a really good elevator, and this is the perfect season to take advantage of a weak schedule, stat pad some wins against some terrible teams, and I think Raiola flashes the way we kind of all anticipated him to coming to Nebraska. He was just throwing to me, Mickey, and Quok last year, and there's nothing you could do.
Walter was, of course, the great Leonard's Losers, and they would usually wrap up by saying, like, get me out of here, Percy. So, oh, yeah. Walt, get us out of here with last thoughts on the Big Ten.
He's right about what Nebraska's potential is, but I don't agree with the Raiola stuff at all. I was not high on him, and I'm still not. I think he's a really pedestrian athlete, and I don't think he has an elite arm. I think he's fine. I mean, I think he's okay. But at the end of the day, I think he's a Jag. I don't think you're ever going to see him as a round one NFL draft pick. I don't think he's anything like that. So I'm not as in love with Nebraska for that reason. I think he'll I think they'll get to some spots, and he'll probably lose those games.
All right, I'm going to run this by, and I'm very interested in what all you guys have to say about it. I mentioned this on my show the other day. Ryan Williams got this unbelievable start last year. His first two catches against Western Kentucky for 139 and two touchdowns, right? And then he goes with Georgia, six catches, 177 yards, and a touchdown. And I know Jalen Milroe didn't have the kind of year he had. But in the last five games last year, two catches, 29 yards, no touchdowns against LSU, three for 36 and a touchdown against Mercer, two for 37 with no touchdowns and an awful game at Oklahoma, three for 53 against Auburn, no touchdowns. In the bowl game, three for eight and no touchdowns. On the other side of the state, Cam Coleman, who was banged up early in his last five games, first of all, he caught a 47-yard touchdown pass against Missouri, then four for 24 against Kentucky, one for nine against Vanderbilt. Last three games last year, eight catches, 100 yards, and three touchdowns against Monroe, seven for 128 and two touchdowns against A&M, and head-to-head against Alabama, seven for 78 and a touchdown. If you look at those stats in his last five games last year, Ryan Williams, 13 catches, 163 yards, and a touchdown in the last five games. Cam Coleman, 27 catches, 339, and six touchdowns. Ryan Williams is not the best wide receiver in Alabama.
Wow. Well, you know, look.
So, is it one of those two guys, or is it Coleman?
Coleman is the guy.
Because it's not.
Cam Coleman is the guy.
Not Singleton?
He's going to add this. No, Coleman's better than Singleton. Look, Singleton adds an awful lot.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think Singleton helps Coleman. And, you know, the real question with both programs is the quarterback play. Because your receiver's only as good as your quarterback. And that's part of the Ryan Williams thing, Mickey, as you said. I mean, Jalen Milroe was freaking terrible. And he was awful down the stretch. I mean, he was god-awful against Oklahoma. He threw three picks. I mean, he couldn't complete a forward pass. I mean, he's a super athlete. And he apparently works hard. But, I mean, his accuracy in the short and intermediate passing game was terrible. You know, I'll tell you, from a throwback standpoint, who Ryan Williams reminds me of, he reminds me of Lynn Swann. He's like that guy in the air with his body control. I think he has that type of ability. But you're right. He faded down the stretch, and Coleman didn't. Coleman's sensational. I'm not saying you're wrong, Mick. I think it's going to be a really interesting year. I think both of these schools, Alabama and Auburn, have top 10 receiving rooms. The real question is which school gets quarterback play to be able to activate those receivers.
Anybody who argues against Coleman because of Jalen Milroe, it ain't like Auburn had Johnny Unitas throwing
to him. No, they sucked too. Yeah. They both sucked. Both schools.
They would have loved to have Milroe. Yeah.
Both schools had terrible quarterbacks. Nobody would have loved to have Milroe.
Let me say a couple things about this. I do think what you're saying about Milroe is why I'm not all the way out on Alabama, okay? Because
Ty Simpson, though?
It's all. You know what I have seen, though? You know what I have seen? Ryan Grubb. I've seen Ryan Grubb. Now, Michael Penix was good at Indiana. You know who the offensive coordinator was at Alabama last year? The guy who sucked for Indiana when Kalen DeBoer, who was the offensive coordinator, left. Yep. It was Nick Sheridan. And when they hired Sheridan, I thought, this is hiring your boy. But I watched it. Fred, you watched that offense. Yep. When Penix in 22 or 23, whatever it was, when he was getting banged, he was getting dinged, there's a reason that he left. And he went back to play for DeBoer. To me, we are not making enough of Ryan Grubb's ability to ring out of that offense. Think what he did. Think about those two receivers that they have with Williams and Bernard. Think about the wide receiver room at Washington, okay? Right. Like, I think Penix is elite. I don't know that Simpson is elite, but I know that Grubb is better. Alabama's defense gave up 17 a game last year. They did not lose because of defense. Their defense is fine. I think Lawson is very good. I think Sab is very good. They got nine of their top 11 tacklers back. Now, they lose Campbell, which is huge, and they lose Moore, which is huge. But they have recruited well enough on that side of the ball. I don't think Alabama is going to flop and flail around. I'm not buying SEC stuff.
Even with Grubb, it's another year one. It's another new system, and it's a new system for a new quarterback. You know, and Steve Spurrier, I think, rightfully said about the Texas situation, you know, if Arch Manning is so great, how do you not beat out Quinn Ewers? Well, if Ty Simpson is so great, how do you not beat out Jalen Milroe, who was absolutely terrible last year? I have enormous questions about Alabama. God forbid, you know, Ryan Williams goes down. If he goes down, you can forget about them. I'm not even sure they beat Florida State, and I don't like Florida State at all. Win that game.
If they don't
win that game, then you're talking a 6-6 team, and Mickey's 100% right. DeBoer is out. They're not going to be at all patient with Kalen DeBoer. Doesn't matter. You know, he can go be a great coach at some other little school, but if he goes 7-5 at Alabama this year, You know, he can open Kalen DeBoer life insurance sales.
I've got something monitored for, and it wraps back with everything about Alabama. Week 6 against Vanderbilt, because there is no way on earth that Ty Simpson survives as the starting quarterback after the Georgia game. I'm sorry, I just don't see it.
I agree.
I think Austin Mack probably is a better option right now, and DeBoer is tipping the cap to the guy that's been at Alabama the whole time. I like the true freshman. I like Keelan Russell more than I like Ty Simpson.
Hey,
I think
Faxon,
Ty Simpson is terrible.
They Faxon, need Russell to come in at the end of the year to kind of give them some hope for next year.
Yeah, because Faxon, I'm not even sure they beat Vandy. I'm not. Vandy beat him last year, and
yeah.
Diego Pavia doesn't care where he plays. He thinks he's going to win every freaking game, no matter where it is. So he doesn't respect Alabama
Absolutely.
At all. He's already proven that with the way he's handled Auburn. I mean, you know, he's pretty good for a pudgy short guy.
We're going to see all three QBs in Tuscaloosa this year is my hot take with Alabama. I think we see Simpson to start. I think we see Mack at some point, and I think they give Russell a look at some point.
Well, better
season.
Be good.
Okay, yeah. Let me try a hot take now. Hot take incoming.
All right.
Now, I know we're going to do the playoff picks in our final segment, so I'm not focusing on that. But I want to say this, and this has been the off-season conversation. We talk about the college football playoff. I think that we have created the most joyless event in all of sports because it is 24/7, 365 whining about this event.
You're right. I agree with that. It does suck the joy. I think one of the great things about expansion, nobody wanted to expand. One of the great things about expansion is that like 10% of the games had playoff stakes and the other 90% nobody wanted to talk about. It was like it was playoff, 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 playoff. Nobody cared about winning conference championships. Somebody cared about bowl game. Nobody cared about 9 wins, 10 wins, whatever. It was just like if you're not in this very small sliver of like 8 teams, your game doesn't matter. At all. It's totally pointless. And I think fan bases felt it. I think coaches felt it. I think players felt it, which made the portal even worse. Now you've opened it up to a point that I do think there are lots and lots of teams that have a stake in a game. So you can't put the genie back. I agree with what you're saying. You can't put the genie back in the bottle and stop talking about the playoff. So how do you fix it? You make more games, quote-unquote, playoff games. And so I think they've tried to inject some joy into it like that, but I agree with you. Boy, John Hyde today... He was pissed. When the news broke today about the 9 games, he's like, we are 2 days from games,
yeah.
And we're talking about next year's conference schedule.
Yeah.
Like,
oh,
this
yeah.
is what we're forced to do now, and it does. It sucks some of the joy out
of
the game.
You know what we're forced to do? We're forced to act like that if you can't beat Kentucky at home and you can't beat Florida, then I can go on Twitter and talk about I should have been in the college football playoff.
Yeah.
When
yeah.
you don't beat – when an Ole Miss cannot beat Kentucky at home – and then a sorry Florida team came back and beat them back. Like, but yet I'm going to playoffs? That's what we're up against now.
My thought is, and I'm going to get my Indiana comment in. I could do it in 45 seconds. Is that there's a lot of people, there's a segment that wishes it was 2015 and there was no transfer portal, no NIL, that kind of thing. And what everybody else has tried to tell that fan base is like, look, it's all opened up now. More teams have a chance to be competitive. Indiana has lost more than 700 college football games. You can't insult me because I have lived through it. It feels like 300 of those. Exactly, exactly. So last year, favorable schedule, things really broke well. They had an amazing season. Suddenly, a school that would put 35,000 fans into a stadium filled it up. I don't know what an Indiana home game is like. I don't know if it's a great atmosphere or not. It's never been one. And I'm saying you've grown the game while you've created this new fan base and this supposedly balanced nature. And then a lot of people say, like, well, no, I'm sorry. We like the idea. You're just not welcome.
Well, the undeniable truth is that there's more parity right now in college football than there's ever been from the perspective of teams actually have a chance to get a seat at the table, and then once they're at the table, they can go win. Like, the big narrative for James Franklin for ages was he's never even going to get to the playoff to play in a big game. Well, they won a couple big games last year. He got all the way to the semifinals. It was an uber-competitive game. You want to talk about Marcus Freeman at Notre Dame. Notre Dame would have had a real difficulty getting into that 14 playoff with some of the schedules they played throughout the course of these seasons. And they had to almost be perfect in the previous model, and now we're almost locking Notre Dame into the field every year. So there's been a lot of different changes, but I think it's really encouraging for one reason specifically, and I say this knowing that there's a bevy of issues. the depth has been nuked from the top dogs, and that is a good thing because these guys that were five stars that were going and sitting for Saban for 2 years, they're now going to go start as a freshman and play P4 football somewhere, and other teams and other programs are benefiting from that. So it's flawed. It's broken. We don't have to love it, but objectively speaking, there's more parity right now than there's ever been in college football from the amount of teams that can realistically and feasibly win a national championship on a year-to-year basis.
Let me get Walt in.
Yeah, Fred, I agree with what you're saying. My concern is this latest advance, alleged advance by the College Football Playoff Committee, where they're going to put more emphasis on strength of schedule. This is a direct result of what happened last year, and it's embarrassing. Indiana and SMU earned their right to be there last year. They can say whatever they want. Alabama, and it proved to be an absolute embarrassment. So did Ole Miss. Mickey's 100% right. You want to go to the playoff lane? Don't lose to Kentucky. You want to go to the playoff lane? Don't choke against Florida. Don't punt on 4th and 2 with a quarterback who's thrown for over 200 yards in the second quarter when you're used to going for 4th and 10 from your own 10 against Alabama. They choked it away. Then Lane Kiffin cried. And then Herb Street, embarrassingly, the ultimate posterization. Remember they're running the scores of those other games above Herb Street's head? And Herb Street is trying to lay out a case for friggin' Alabama and those SEC schools, Tennessee and Ole Miss, while downgrading what SMU accomplished. I think it's just embarrassing, and I think it's unfortunate. What worries me is that this turns it into the fixes in. That's what worries me. This gives them the opportunity to let this thing come out any way you want. And basically, this is a Power Football League's reaction to what happened last year. You know, the SEC didn't like it, so they're not going to let the SMUs and the Indianas in this dance anymore. They're going to replace them with the losers, Alabama and Ole Miss, and that's what we're going to see. And I don't think that's good for football. And I'm still excited about Indiana football, Fred, because Mendoza is the real deal. There's a chance that Mendoza is ultimately the number one pick in the draft.
Wow.
He's really, really good. Yeah. Can I say this? The strength of schedule component really bothers me. And really it bothers me in this way most of all. First of all, I hate strength of schedule. Why? In strength of schedule, the only thing that doesn't matter in strength of schedule is the team that you're talking about. It's literally what all the teams you play did in all their other games. It has nothing to do with how you played in the game you played against them. It is literally the most pointless statistic ever. It does nothing. It actually makes you dumber for saying it. So anytime Sankey opens his fat trap and says strength of schedule, I want to strangle something alive and make it dead because it's ridiculous. Now, what it means, though, that they're doing this stupid thing with strength of schedule is that they think they screwed up last year because all the home teams in the biggest home games in the history of home games throttled all the other teams.
Except Indiana came closer to beating Notre Dame at Notre Dame than Georgia did.
That's right. Yeah. To me, that's the issue. They did a great job. They did their job, and they don't know. They are trying to tweak the formula and make the SEC happy and the Big Ten happy and all these people after doing a brilliant job. They literally didn't screw it up at all, and that worries me more than anything else.
All right, when we come back, it's spoiler alert time. We're going to tell you, these guys are going to tell you, who's going to be in the college football playoff this year when our kickoff show continues.
Hugs from patients like Patrick. It's something QC Kinetics medical professionals experience every day.
I hugged them. You should hug somebody who does that for you. They gave me my life back, and I really didn't know where I was going to go because I was definitely afraid of having a knee replacement done.
No surgery, no downtime with QC Kinetics regenerative treatments. They give patients relief from joint pain using their own healing properties to repair and restore damaged tissue. And the results? Well, that's why we see a lot of hugs at QC Kinetics.
Everything is back that I thought I was never going to be able to do again. I'm still smiling and sometimes it gets emotional. I get a tear in my eye because of how I was before I went in there.
Those smiles and hugs never get old at QC Kinetics. It means patients are finally getting relief. And now, it's your turn. Call QC Kinetics today for your complimentary consultation and see if you're a good candidate for these amazing treatments.
Call QC Kinetics, 864-766-8454. That's 864-766-8454. 864-766-8454.
Sitting here today with our good friend Gary Mahaffey of Insurance for Seniors and Disabled. Gary, listener asks, Walt, I got a call from someone telling me that they were from Medicare and they wanted to review my current insurance plan with me. I thought it was a scam, and I just hung up on them. I'd like Gary's opinion on this call.
Great job, listener. I tell my customers that neither Medicare or Social Security will ever give you a call. everything with the government is done in writing for backup. I even have charlatans telling my customers that I told them to call. Friggin' unbelievable. If you don't recognize a telephone number, don't answer the call. If you need further clarification, feel free to contact me at 864-307-8484.
There you have it, listener. Once again, Medicare and Social Security, do not call. As Gary generously offers, give him a call instead at 864-307-8484 should you have questions.
A car accident can change everything in seconds. Don't let the insurance companies decide what your case is worth. At Smith Jordan Law Firm, we stand up for accident victims, fighting for the compensation you need to recover and move forward. Call Smith Jordan Law Firm today at 864-343-2222 or visit smithjordan.com. Your consultation is free. Smith Jordan Law. We are local attorneys with a proven track record.
Estes Heating and Air is here to keep your family cool in the summer and warm in the winter with premium Heil units, supercharged with 100 years of superior engineering and quality manufacturing. Estes is Clemson alumni-owned and celebrating 26 years of serving Tiger fans across Oconee, Pickens, and Greater Greenville. Be sure to like their Facebook page for giveaways, promotions, and specials. That's E-S-T-E-S Heating and Air on Facebook to win prizes and receive specials on HVAC services and installs to keep your family comfortable all year long with Heil units. Depend on them.
Friends, here's something you probably already know. America is in a health crisis. Me, you, and our friends and family. It's a health crisis that's caused by being overweight, and so many of these issues could be resolved if we could just get our weight under control. Hey friends, it's Mike Vaughn from The Mickey Plyler Show, and I've seen it all firsthand with a family member who has tried the weight loss drugs and shots. I mean, who wants to take shots? Plus all of the side effects, and when the shots end, the weight just seems to come right back. That's why I've been so excited about my experience with PhD Weight Loss. They've helped me learn how to eat and think about food differently. They help their patients drop up to a third of their body weight naturally without ever taking those weight loss drugs. PhD Weight Loss helps you wake up your own body's metabolism so that your body produces its own weight loss hormones. Reach out to my great friends at PhD Weight Loss in the Greenville office at 864-644-1900. That's 864-644-1900. Or go to myphdweightloss.com.
You're listening to the Roars College Football Kickoff Show, live from Southern Side Brewing Company in Greenville. Now, let's get back to the action.
Brett Cunningham back with you. Our final segment of our kickoff show. Wow, it has blown by, but it's gotten to the most important time of the evening. It is time to explain exactly what will happen in the 2025 season, at least from the standpoint of who will be making the college football playoff. I'm going to start with Walt Deptula.
Hey, Fred. First of all, Fred Cunningham, that's a great job, a terrific job. You're the ultimate professional. Everyone knew you'd do a great job. Thank you, Fred.
Thank you.
In terms of the way I see it at the end, you know, just one quick thing, too. I'm going to give you one surprise player to watch for South Carolina. I think Brian Rowe is going to be a star right from day one. I think he starts day one, and I think he's the guy to watch at South Carolina. I asked Shane Beamer about that earlier, and I think he intentionally tried to soft-pedal his answer. Oh, yeah, you know, we have seven good freshman receivers. Okay, watch. It's Brian
Rowe.
That's
because, Walt, you said he wasn't very good when they hired the guy, so no wonder he's going to try to get on this.
All right, my final four. Is that what we're doing, Fred? Final four?
We got 12. Time. We 12. Got time. Give us the 12 and
the
get
12.
Us the four.
Okay, the 12 are Navy 12, Miami 11, LSU 10, Arizona State 9, Oklahoma 8, Georgia 7, Ohio State 6, Oregon 5, Notre Dame 4, Texas 3, and Penn State and Clemson 1A and 1B.
Interesting. Your final four?
My final four, Penn State, Clemson, Texas, and Notre Dame. I think that I've thought this since February 1st. I still do. I think Penn State and Clemson are the two best teams in the country. I think Texas is the only other team that can win the national championship. I think there's a bigger gap between Texas and Notre Dame, who I see as team four, than there is between anybody at the top. So I think that's how I have it. So those are my four: Penn State, Clemson, Texas, and Notre Dame.
And then take us to the championship game and the winner.
I think the championship game is Penn State and Clemson, and I so want to pick Clemson. I think it's going to be Penn State.
Wow. Okay. Mickey, Or are you still doing math?
No, I'm ready.
Okay.
I'm ready. Number 12, Winter Army Navy. I'm going Navy. 11, Southern Cal. Fight on. Number 10, I wanted to pick Miami or Louisville. I'm going Georgia Tech out of the ACC.
Wow.
Love it.
Number 9, Notre Dame. Number 8, Arizona State. Number 7, LSU. 6, Georgia. 5, Ohio State. 4, Oregon. 3, Clemson. 2, Texas. 1, Penn State. By the way, in picking Georgia Tech and Southern Cal, last year no one had SMU, no one had Arizona State, and no one had Indiana. Yeah. So we're going to you got to pick some wild cards.
We're going to be wrong. Yeah. Okay. Right. This is a great exercise if we want to be wrong at the end.
Well, I'm going to be wrong with Brett Key, and I'm going to be wrong with Southern Cal. All right, final four then. Give me Penn State, Clemson, Texas, and LSU because Gus Meyer gets those weapons and get them going a little bit. National championship game. Give me Penn State and Texas, and I'll go with Walt. I think Penn State's going to win it all.
All right. Faxon?
Yeah, so I've gone off the board here, so bear with me. I've got UTSA as my group of five. I think they're going to go 12-1, and the only game they're going to lose is going to be Texas A&M early, and they're going to run the table and win the Conference USA and get in. But, again, group of five is like you might as well just go pick out of a hat for group of five.
Okay.
You know, we'll run through some double-digit seeds. Notre Dame, Miami, Georgia Tech, Missouri, USC, Ohio State.
Missouri.
You're not just going to roll through Georgia Tech,
sneak it
Missouri.
In there.
USC,
yes,
Notre Dame at 11.
I've got a three-bid ACC, which I'm aware is going out there, but I would be floored if neither of Georgia Tech or Miami made the playoff. One of those teams at minimum is making the playoff, and admittedly, I'm kind of playing a numbers game here with mine. USC, I'm going to fall for the trap with Mickey, and we're both going to be wrong and have a big fat goose egg on our head at the end of the season.
But not Adrian Martinez wrong.
Not Adrian Martinez
Oh, yeah,
wrong.
That reminds me. We got to pick Heisman, guys. We have to do our Heisman picks.
I've got Utah winning the Big 12. I've got Texas, Penn State, Georgia, and Clemson as from bottom to top there with Clemson going undefeated and winning the ACC.
Okay, and then all take us to the championship. Final four, championship game winner.
My final four is Clemson, Georgia, Penn State, and Ohio State. And my championship game is Clemson versus Georgia, where I would be picking Clemson over Georgia to win the national championship.
Good for you.
He's the most popular man right now at Southern Brewing Company. Quack.
Can we just cheer for Ramona? Ramona's been in the States for like a million hours.
Yeah. Mark the tape.
Way to go, Ramona. Great stuff. All right.
By the way, can you imagine if we actually had a Clemson-Georgia national championship game?
Oh.
That would be insane. Yeah. That would be absolutely insane.
I'd be a wreck for weeks. Hey, I hope don't drive too fast going there.
Yeah.
Number 12, Boise. Okay, Boise's got
gravity.
The Mount West sucks. Every other team's terrible. Boise's going to get there because they have the name recognition. Iowa State 11, that's just a placeholder. Baylor, TCU, I mean, you send your best and I'll put them in there. Miami 10, Louisville 9.
I love
Louisville's going to finish second in the ACC. Louisville, SMU, and Miami, they all play each other.
Yep.
They're all going to finish 1-1. Louisville's got a better chance of going through the rest of the schedule.
I like it.
Number 8, Oregon. Number 7, Texas. Number 6, Oklahoma beats Texas.
Oklahoma.
Finishes runner-up in the SEC. Give me Oklahoma in there. Number 5, Ohio State. They are going to win the league, but they're going to lose a couple times. Number 4, Notre Dame. Number 3, Clemson. Number 2, Georgia for path and floor reasons. High floor, easiest path to get to the SEC championship game. Everybody else has a tougher schedule of the favorites. And number 1 is Penn State. My final four is Penn State, Notre Dame. I think this is Penn State's revenge. I think they get Notre Dame this time. And then Georgia Clemson. I almost took Miami. I'm not going to lie. I think if Miami actually gets on the dance floor, it means that Mario Cristobal gives a crap about November. And so if that actually happens. By the way, the reason I went Miami, I need to say, is because my head hurt because I was trying to decide between 3-loss Alabama, 3-loss LSU, 3-loss Ole Miss, and 2-loss Nebraska. And so I thought, I'm not doing any of that. I'm just going to put Miami in because I think they have a chance to go 10-2. I have Georgia and Clemson in the other semifinal. I have Clemson over Penn State winning the national title.
All right.
Big game James, baby.
I've just thought off the top of my head, so I haven't really put this all together. Maybe I shouldn't, but I'm going to give you an over-under before we get to the Heisman Trophy pick for each of you guys. Over-under, number of players from the state of South Carolina who will make it to New York City, the over-under 1.5. number of players from the state of South Carolina who
are
get
we talking
to New
about
York.
The school in South Carolina or like they're born in South Carolina?
No. To playing at schools in South Carolina. You know
who's
I'm thinking
Coastal's
of two
quarterback?
Players.
I'll go first. And I'll go under.
You'll go the under.
I'm going under.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going under just because injuries and you don't know, like, you know, half missing half a year. You got to be consistent throughout the whole year now. And I'll go under. I'll say one of them will be in New York. How about that?
Okay.
Under. Zero.
Okay. Zero.
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 Yeah.
Walt?
Too hard.
I'm going to go over. I think both guys make it.
Can you imagine what that argument would be like on Sports Talk Radio between those two, the Heisman finalists? Yep.
That would be cinema. We need that.
Oh, man.
I'm rooting for it. For full transparency, I'm rooting for it.
Me too. Yeah,
that would be
great.
Good stuff. All right, Heisman Trophy winner, Kwok.
Are you kidding me?
Yes. You've got the notebook. By the way,
Fred Cunningham, national champion. Who you got? Besides Indiana.
He's picking the Hoosiers.
No, I'm not picking the Hoosiers. I'm going with Clemson. Are you kidding?
I like it.
There you go.
I want Clemson the championship game because there's a pretty good chance I get to go cover it. But anyway, that's just me being
greedy. Yeah, baby. I'm going to go Jeremiah Love. It feels like a running back year. A lot of the quarterback position, you know, take or leave. A lot of youth at the quarterback position. I think Drew Aller doesn't profile like it. I think Kate Klubnik doesn't really profile like it. One of the things I'm worried about with Kate, he fumbled 7 times last year and only lost one. Ball security looks good because he didn't turn over that much, but he put the ball in jeopardy some. So I'm worried about that. The other one is John Mateer. I think if Oklahoma's going to – if they're sixth, John Mateer is going to be in the Heisman conversation because that ball is going to be in his hands a lot. But I think Jeremiah Love is the best running back in the country. He gets it done.
Okay. Walt, Heisman Trophy winner.
I think it's clearly Cade Klubnik. I think he's the easy favorite to win this award. I just do. I mean, he's going to be a home favorite against LSU. Nussmeier is the other leading candidate. If Cade wins that game, that's all he needs to do. People get too caught up in stats. His stats were good enough to win the Heisman Trophy last year. All Clemson has to do is win. If he beats LSU, let's say he throws for 300 yards and Clemson wins that game, he's the front runner. I mean, I don't think anybody really believes Arch Manning is going to win the Heisman Trophy. I don't think his family believes it. I mean, I think he's going to be very good, but I don't think he's winning the Heisman Trophy. And this is an award, Fred, I think, as you know, that generally goes to the front runners. That's what happens. Last year was a bit of an exception. But I think it's set up for Cade Klubnik to win the Heisman Trophy. They're the favorite versus LSU. Nussmeier is the other real competition for the award. And I think Cade Klubnik is going to win the Heisman Trophy. I also think Peter Woods is going to win the Outland. So these are awards that Clemson's never won either one of them.
Faxon?
Yeah, I love Walt's case. And obviously, if you've ever listened to me behind a microphone, you know how much I love Cade Klubnik. I believe he's going to New York, and I definitely believe he's going to be in the conversation. I'll throw a dark horse at the wall real quick. I think Adam Randall could play his way into that conversation.
What?
I'm not picking him.
A guy called my show today tried to say he was Derrick Henry. I was like, minus about 5,000 rushing yards.
I'm not picking him to win the Heisman, but I think that Clemson is going to run into enough short yardage situations. They're going to score a lot of points. Adam Randall's stat line at the end of the year is going to look video game-esque. If he goes for 1,300 yards and 20-something touchdowns and adds some receiving, I think he could be in that conversation. I'm aware that's a dark horse. That's why we're deeming it as that. But my pick is where the audience is about to stop clapping because I'm not picking a Clemson player.
Oh.
I'm picking Gunnar Stockton at Georgia. And that's
really?
And
Stetson have been at the four.
I think that Gunnar has been the better quarterback the whole time. I think the team is going to rally behind him, and I'll go ahead and make another prediction. Zachariah Branch is breaking the single-season receiving record at Georgia this year. He's going to be the first receiver since 2002 to go for over 1,000 yards. He's going to go for 1,300. Gunnar is going to light it up. The country does not know how good this kid is, and Georgia football is going to be really, really good once again.
All right, what happens when Gunnar Stockton and Aaron Filo face off in Mercedes? Benz Stadium. Thanksgiving weekend.
I'm rooting for whoever. At that point, I'm gold.
I think Faxon just had his Adrian Martinez moment.
Yes, I believe he did. Yes.
Does that mean I'm officially part of the station now if I have a bad Heisman pick? Is that like
Yes, 100%, and you will not forget it. You know what? Screw Jaden Daniels when you picked them right. It's Adrian Martinez that you picked.
Kwok is really hoping for this because then we won't be talking about Adrian Martinez anymore.
Oh, man. I disagree. Ben Milstead brought it up yesterday for no reason, just out of the blue. Just yelled Adrian Martinez.
I heard that.
He looks good in the preseason.
You've been christened with that pick. You've been christened for
Wait a minute. So let me just say, Faxon really is a part. Wake Forest is winning 8.
Yes.
Seven.
Gunnar Stockton wins the Heisman. Adam Randall's getting to New York is what happened.
Potentially.
And then he just breezed through Missouri, USC, Notre Dame's 11th. Missouri ahead of Notre Dame in there.
Adam Randall might be going to New York if Kate Klubnick invites him. That's the only way he's
good. Right. I'll tell you one thing I agree with Fax on. I think Eli Drinkwitz is a great coach when he's talking about Missouri. He's sort of the new age Steve Spurrier in a way.
Yeah, I did too. And just as goofy. All right, I think that Sellers and Klubnick split votes. I think that Singleton and Allen split votes.
For the
third time in the last 6 years, a wide receiver wins it. Jeremiah Smith is the best football player in America,
and he will win
the Heisman this year. He's the best player. Last year we did it. We gave it to the best player. Devonta Smith was the best player. A wide receiver can win it for the last 6 years.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Sophomore.
Yeah.
I'm not saying slump. I'm saying stuff happens. Injuries happen.
Could be.
Something happened. Freshman quarterback.
And you get a little bit banged up and you don't want to work out. You don't want to, injure that hamstring one more time. You might lay out, but I don't see that with this kid. This kid's a football player.
He was dominant as a freshman.
Very quickly, 10 seconds for each of you. Just give me one more thought on anything.
Auburn starting 2-4, and Hugh Freeze is the first coach fired.
I think Dave Doran's getting fired at NC State this year, and I think that's going to bottom out.
I think Virginia Tech makes a coaching move at the end of the year as well.
Walt?
I think the coaches completely whiffed on Oklahoma not ranking them. I think Oklahoma is really going to be one of the surprise teams of the year. I just think John Mateer is just a special, special guy at quarterback. And I think that Oklahoma defense is going to be top five in the nation.
Mickey Plyler, William Quackenbush, Faxon Childress, Walt Deptula. That is what they think coming into the season. Of course, you can continue to follow them every day on The Roar. Thank you so much for inviting me. This has been a blast.
How about Fred Cutting for every day?
Yeah.
Yes, sir. News Channel 7.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And I'll be on the air tomorrow morning at 5 a.m.
4 hours from now.
Something like that, exactly. I want to thank Ramona for her help. Ben here helping us out. The staff of the Roar have been unbelievable. We thank you for joining us. That is your College Football Kickoff Show right here on the Roar.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 200 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com/power. That's GoFundMe.com/power to start.